From Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with 7 cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. Every mile counts. That's the motto of St. Vincent de Paul for its main fundraiser of the year, its annual walk and run event, which is set for this Saturday. Here to tell us how you can get involved, Dave Ringel, General Manager, St. Vincent de Paul. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for coming in today to talk about the Friends of the Poor Run Walk. Before we talk about that, could you just give us a little overview of and remind our listeners about some of the services that St. Vincent de Paul provides to the community?
Well, St. Vincent de Paul is primarily a charity organization aimed at giving services to the neediest. For 17 months of COVID, we ran an emergency warming shelter down at the Jack that no longer works, that no longer is in operation, as the new Glory Hall has opened up next door to us out here in the valley. But for every person we had in the warming shelter, we had 3 people in low-income housing who otherwise would be homeless. And so we provide a lot of housing. We also offer clothing to people. We offer some emergency food. We have 26 shelter rooms on our Teal Street facility that take people off the street, 13 families and 13 vulnerable individuals. And we also have 75 low-income housing units we do in addition to the food, clothing, and rental assistance and utilities.
That's a lot. It's some heavy lifting that you guys do out there. We love to celebrate successes on Juneau Afternoon, and I was wondering if you'd like to share some of the service highlights from 2020.
Well, you know, we combined with the Glory Hall to deliver 480 Thanksgiving baskets. We had 280 children get Christmas gifts through Adopt a Family. We distributed over 1,800 pounds of food. We also have a home visit team that meets people in the community before they become homeless. And we provided over $5,200 in direct aid to them, but also connected them with rental assistance and other programs so that before they got in trouble, they could get the help they needed to stay in their housing.
And I know that you wanted to share the story of the person you lovingly called the woman with the keys.
About a year ago, we worked on one particularly vulnerable person who shouldn't have been in the homeless shelter to start with. And we got her a voucher. We got her into housing. And she calls me frequently because she appreciates it. But about 3 weeks ago, I got a call from her. I didn't answer. And the next call was from her at Anchorage Native Medical Center. She was about to be put in intensive care for COVID. And we hadn't heard from her in 3 weeks. Yesterday, she called us. She's back in Juneau. She's still in the hospital, but she's on the road to recovery. And it was just heartwarming to hear her voice. And she promised she would catch up on her rut. And that's the least of our worries with her. We know she's still alive and she's got a place to come back to.
Right. She's in the picture with the keys. Those are the keys to her home. Yeah.
There's the keys to her new apartment. She had been homeless for over 10 years and, you know, she's going to go back there, which is great to hear. Great to think about.
That is great. I'm so happy to hear that. And I'm happy for you guys. Well, as I said, you do a lot. You really do a lot of heavy lifting. I was wondering if you could tell me about some of the ways you support those services.
Well, you know, we have a thrift store and anybody who buys from our thrift store after expenses, all that money goes into our programs. It goes into our housing. It goes into our food aid. We also do fundraisers over the year for our holiday services, which are coming up, and for our aid program. The biggest fundraiser we do is coming up, and that's called the Friends of the Poor Run Walk. It's a national activity in 240 communities over the United States. They're going to be doing an event this weekend. The one here will start with a 5-kilometer run at 9 a.m. It'll start at the thrift store, and it will go out to the airport dike trail about a kilometer and a half and turn around. At 10 o'clock, we'll have a walk that will start at the thrift store, and it will walk through the neighborhood. There'll be a long route around Egan Drive and a short walk, which will go over to our Teal Street facilities, where people will be able to view everything that happens in that small block where we have 26 shelter units, 31 housing units, a free clothing store, and several other services we provide to people just in the small block right next to the Glory Hall and other buildings back there.
I joke
with Maria Lovechek that she doubled she almost doubled the number of services provided in the community by joining us.
So you've been faced with some pretty big challenges over the last year. And by that, I mean financial costs such as frozen pipes and broken water heaters and rising insurance rates. How important is participation in this event for helping offset some of those costs?
Well, actually, we had a donor step up who's going to match every dollar that is raised over this fundraiser. And so this money will go into our aid program, but it will also help us to upgrade our things in our shelter for our students so that the fire alarm is up to code. And we have to convert from oil heat, from oil hot water heat to electrical, and do some work on our siding that is almost done, where, you know, we, if you don't take care of things in Juneau, Alaska, in this harsh climate, the buildings do not last long. And we're well on our way with the matching funds with donations to continue to provide the services we do for several years in the future. And everything that is raised, all the funds that are raised over the next weekend with this fundraiser will go directly to the services we provide, whether it's to help improve our housing or to provide aid for people who need it as we come to the end of the eviction moratorium and we're going to have people facing housing evictions. We're working on trying to help as many people as possible. The needs are great, and all the money will be well used.
It's very generous to hear there's a donor who is matching the donations from the community. How long will that be going on?
That will be going on through the end of the year, and probably longer. This donor has a long-term commitment to look at the emergency housing we provide to the people who least can afford it, and wants to make sure that the buildings are kept up. When I stepped into this job in February 2020, I thought the biggest challenge I would have was about $1.5 million in deferred maintenance that we had to come. I didn't expect COVID to step in and sort of cloud that, but in the middle of COVID, we found, you know, we have to address our building issues, and we're doing that slowly. We've got generous support for large projects from the Alaska Mental Health Trust. We have a couple of states that have been very generous, Rasmussen Foundation, the Juneau Community Foundation, but a lot of the little donors, they're the people that help at holiday times, and they're the people who, even if you don't want to donate a lot, come and see our facility. We're going to have posters out to show what we do and how we could help. And, it, you know, as volunteers open up, we have a lot of opportunities for volunteers. So it's not just to raise money. It's to show this is all we do and how you can help us out.
Right. Maybe not everybody has the money to donate, but has a little bit of time. Now, I like how the walk this Saturday is going to incorporate sort of a look at the facility, and I'm checking out the background of your Zoom right now. Is that a picture of the facility? And I know you guys just got a new parking lot too.
Yeah, that's a picture of our new facility with the new parking lot. We've painted the siding that we had to replace half the siding on the building, but the front of the building was good enough that we could save money by painting it and extending its life rather than having to replace it in 5-10 years. So these are the type of projects we're trying to do to make sure that the units there that have been around for 25 years and have housed quite a few people in this community who use it as a way to get out of dire situations. And that's our goal, to help people like that.
I don't know how you got that blue sky in there, though. That must be Photoshop.
It was one of those rare Juneau days that we put up with the 9 months of lousy weather for those 3 months when the sun shines and we realize how beautiful our community and our place is.
Now, I always like how St. Vincent gives some specific examples of what you can get for certain donation amounts, like $25 can equal a sleeping bag and $50, maybe a taxi pass. Is there a list of those things where we can look at online?
Actually, if you go to svdpjuneau.org and you click on events, you will come to the Friends of the Poor Walk event. And we have a list of those on that website. And we also have a registration form if you want to sign up online. And if it's lousy weather, you want to socially isolate, you can donate and do your own socially isolated run. And you're welcome to.
Oh, that's great to hear. Well, thanks for all the wonderful information. And then I did want to ask about the walk run this Saturday. Is there anything folks should know about masking, social distancing, things like that, dogs?
We are going to do everything outside. And we're going to ask for people in a run, you're going to naturally social distance other than when you come to the registration. So we want you to, if you're not feeling well, stay home. If you're feeling well, registering virtually, you can stick with your social bubble, but respect each other's social distance. We're not going to request masks unless you go indoors. And we're going to be respectful of that, especially around the shelter. We've had some cases of COVID, but we've managed to isolate them and keep COVID from spreading. And I hope we continue to do that over the next couple of months as we face the, as we work towards the end of this next wave of the Delta variant.
Definitely. Well, Dave Ringel, General Manager of St. Vincent de Paul, I hope you have a great turnout this Saturday. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing all that information. Is there anything else you want to say to our audience before we sign off today?
Well, I appreciate the support of the community. This is a unique position. Sometimes I see how much people in our community struggle, but I also see how generous members of our community are, and I greatly appreciate that.
Well, thanks, and thanks for all the work that you do, Dave.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You as well. Coming up, the snow isn't even on the ground yet, but the Juneau Nordic Ski Team is already recruiting for the next season. How there's helped to make the experience affordable. Here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. While a bird's eye view lets a migratory songbird like this European robin keep track of important landmarks along its route, a special protein in its eyes might let it see Earth's magnetic field. It's like a hiker using a compass to find true north. As European robins get closer to migration, their eyes produce more of a light-detecting protein called a cryptochrome. Non-migratory birds have this eye protein too, but at lower levels. To understand why migratory birds might need more of this protein, scientists compared the cryptochrome proteins from European robins, birds that do migrate, to those from chickens and pigeons, birds that don't migrate. They found that only the robin's cryptochrome changed its behavior in the presence of a weak magnetic field. This feature could make the bird's field of view appear darker in the direction of a magnetic field line, letting them visualize which way is north. Pigeons do have a magnetic mineral, called magnetite, embedded in their beaks. So, even though they may not be able to see magnetic fields, they can detect them. This is what makes homing pigeons so good at finding their way back home. Birds on the move may use one or both ways of sensing magnetic fields. For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.